church. How we doing? Good. Like Cody said, my name is Zach Hand. I get to serve as one of the pastors here, specifically serving our students here at our Reardon campus. And this is a little over a year of me being here, and so I do have to offer you a little bit of a warning before I start. Okay, a year means I have been sitting under Joe Williams' leadership for a year now, so I have found myself a little longer-winded than when I first got here. So you will have to bear with me if I go long, but I'm going to try not to. My very, very best. But to bring you up a little bit up to speed with where we have been in this series, we've been in this series, His Words, talking about the life and teachings of Jesus, only the most important person to ever live. And we, if you remember back to last week, we were talking about the calling of the first four disciples, Peter, Andrew, James, and John. And it was this really miraculous, incredible moment in which they were really in this huge catch of fish. And as they were bringing this huge catch on board, the boat began to sink. And Peter, he's feeling the weight of the moment that he is in. And what does he cry out? He says, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." He's witnessing something here that is clear throughout the rest of Jesus' life. And what is very clear is that this man, Jesus, has authority. A very unique kind of authority, one that we don't really see anymore. At least from anybody that's on this earth. When I was thinking of this idea of authority, one person that came to my mind, strangely enough, was Steve Jobs. Okay, so Steve Jobs, obviously, is the founder and creator of Apple. Okay, and we're gonna have a little bit of audience participation. If you have an Apple device on your person, whether that's a phone, a watch, maybe you have earbuds that are Apple brand, would you just go ahead and would you just put that up in the air right now? So yeah, Steve Jobs has a lot of authority over our phone choice, if you couldn't tell. I was trying to figure out why I thought of Steve Jobs. It might have been because I was writing this message on a MacBook, on an Apple laptop. I'm preaching from an iPad. I was listening to music on my iPhone through my AirPods that are Apple, and I was checking the time on my Apple Watch. To say I'm an Apple guy would be an understatement. But it would be really hard for us to deny the authority that Apple has had over the last 20 years on just our phone choice. It would be hard for us to deny how widespread that it has been. And that word authority sometimes carries with it a good connotation and a really bad one. We've seen it play out for good, and we've seen it play out for bad. We've seen men like Martin Luther King Jr. use his authority as a speaker, as a communicator, to drive social, political, and racial reform in this country. But as often as we've seen it used for good, we've seen it used for bad. We've seen men like Adolf Hitler using incredible amount of authority for really terrible purposes. So this word authority is a little bit controversial. Y'all, we even have authority in our own lives. As husbands and wives, moms and dads, aunts and uncles, grandmas and grandpas, bosses and employees, we could go on and on. We have authority in each aspect of those. And we all have some level of authority. Now, whether we're going to use that for good or for bad, well, that's kind of up to you to decide. But what I want to spend our time together looking at is how Jesus gives us a really great example of what I'm going to call kingdom authority. What authority looks like in God's kingdom. Using it to heal and not to hurt. To build up and not to tear down. But I really want to focus our attention on this question. How should we respond when we encounter the authority of Jesus in our lives? How should we respond? And I think that we should actually, based on the text we're going to study today, we should have two responses. The first is that we should respond in awe, in wonder at the authority of Jesus. And the second is that we should respond in service. We should respond in service. So let's speak about that first response. Since Jesus has authority, we should respond with awe. We should be in wonder of it. And when we truly come to terms with that authority, that would really be the only response we can have. So if you would, turn in your Bibles or on the app as well to Luke chapter 4, verse 31. That's where we're going to begin our study today. And it's going to be really clear to us Jesus' authority over a great many things. So let's begin just with verse 31. Then he went down to Capernaum, a town in Galilee, and on the Sabbath he taught the people there. They were amazed at his teaching because his words had authority. There's going to be a map that pops up behind us. This is going to kind of help us to get a grasp on where we truly are. And where we are is kind of up here on the northern side of the Sea of Galilee. And we're up here in Capernaum. That's where Jesus has been hanging out for just a little bit. That's where they had the massive catch of fish. And in this passage, something that Luke doesn't add, that Mark does, that's really interesting, is a contrast in authority. Okay, the authority that they knew at the time was the Pharisees, the scribes, the teachers of the law, the religious people. And what he adds, just at the end of that phrase, was that his authority was not as the teachers of the law. Mark Moore, a man much smarter than I, says this about the contrast of authority here. He says that the common mode of teaching for the Pharisees, for the scribes, was to quote a long list of scribal authorities. And that they thought would add to their credibility as teachers and add to their level of authority. But Jesus, in contrast, is different. He simply just said, "But I say," and the truth of his own words held their authority. It's really an incredible statement. His authority is so different. But let's keep reading here. In the synagogue, we're back in verse 33. In the synagogue, there was a man possessed by a demon, an impure spirit. He cried out at the top of his voice, "Go away! What do you have to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." "Be quiet," Jesus said sternly. "Come out of him." Then the demon threw the man down before them all, and he came out without injuring him. All the people there were amazed. They said to each other, "What words are these? With authority and power, he gives orders to impure spirits, and they come out." And the news about him spread throughout the surrounding area. Friends, as I have spent time in this passage, as I've been trying to wrestle down what I think it's about and why it matters, my mind and my heart have been drawn to that word authority. It's the Greek word exousia. And when the gospel uses this word, it means the power of choice. Let me say it to you this way. Basically, Jesus can do what he wants, when he wants, with or without our permission. I think that's kind of what it means here. This is a very unique kind of authority. Here he shows authority over the spiritual forces of this world. But this authority, it goes far beyond someone like Steve Jobs, Martin Luther King Jr., Adolf Hitler, any of us. It goes far beyond what we can imagine. And what I found really interesting as I was studying this passage, as I was trying to figure out what is unique about what Jesus is doing here, what I found unique was the response of not just the religious people, not just the people who came to listen to Jesus. I was drawn to the response of the demon. Even the demon recognized the authority of Jesus. James chapter 2, verse 19 says that even the demons believe and they shudder. because they know he's different. And they hate him. But they still recognize his authority. And I'm sure that to some extent the Pharisees do as well. While we could focus on that, what I want to focus on is the people's response. The people that are, you know, watching this happen. What are the two words used to describe their response? They were astonished. They were amazed. Have you ever had the feeling of awe in your life? You ever had that feeling before? Probably one of the greatest feelings of awe that I've ever had in my life was a few years back, my family and I went on a vacation out to Colorado. And while we were there, we spent a day driving up to the top of Pikes Peak. Anybody been to Pikes Peak before? Oh my gosh. It is incredible. That's a picture a long time ago of a much skinnier me and much less facial hair. As baby face me, as my wife said. But look at that. That is a breathtaking view behind us. How could you not be in awe of what you're seeing? It almost feels like you can see the curvature of the earth. It's crazy. The only feeling I could have was amazement. Awe. And I think in a very similar kind of way, the people watching this happen, they have a very similar response, if not a bigger response than my own. Friends, I'm going to suggest that 2,000 years later, that when we witness the authority of Jesus playing out in our lives, we should probably have a very similar response. When we see the authority of Jesus play out, we should respond very similarly. And when do we see it play out? Well, we see it all the time in our lives. Sometimes we just don't pay attention. We see it play out in every moment. The fact that Jesus is sustaining our world, that he withholds it. He holds it up by the power of his word. But we also see it when a cancer diagnosis looks hopeless. But I believe that through the authority of Jesus, even when things seem hopeless, healing comes. Doctors can't explain it, but we know because we have something different. We have the authority of Jesus in our lives. Or when we know that we're going to have to leave a job and the job hunt has begun. The stress and the anxiety of finding a new job finds its way into your mind and in your heart. But because of the authority of Jesus at work in our lives, something better comes up. Friends, I have experienced that personally. That is very personal to me. And perhaps, maybe it doesn't have to be big things. Perhaps it can be seemingly small things. Like when Jesus puts a group of people, a small group, a group of friends around us that can build us up and encourage us. I think the authority of Jesus to encourage us is at work in the people around us. Jesus can work through anything, and small groups are a great place to do that. And in those moments, we see Jesus' authority on display. But oftentimes, friends, we miss it. Sometimes we miss when Jesus is working in our lives, when the authority of Jesus is right in front of us, we miss it sometimes. But that's okay. But we shouldn't try to stay there. What I want to encourage you to do, because it's been beneficial in my life, if you find yourself missing Jesus' authority in your life, I would recommend you start journaling. Writing your days. Writing down what happens during the day. Maybe the moments that Jesus is sustaining you. He's encouraging you. He's walking alongside of you. Write down those moments. So that weeks and months later, you can come back and you can say, look at what Jesus did in my life. Friends, we don't want to miss it. We don't want to miss those moments in our lives. But can I tell you that when we spend enough time in awe of Jesus' authority, we have no choice but to worship. We have no choice. There's no choice but to worship him. Whether that be through song, through singing here at church, or reading the Bible early in the morning on your own, or in the deepest parts of prayer, we become witness to the authority of Jesus in our lives. So we've established, I think, that Jesus has authority. And that his authority is quite different from anything we could imagine. And I think that a fitting response is to be in awe of him, is to worship. I think that's a fitting response. But friends, I want to suggest something. I want to suggest that we don't just let it be a feeling. We move beyond it. We let it be a physical response. That when we witness the authority of Jesus, yes, we start with awe, but it moves us to service. And I think that's our second response, is that since he has authority, we should respond with service. Jesus, he's going to leave that synagogue. He will enter into the house of Simon, we know as Peter. And upon entering that house, Jesus is going to have the opportunity once again to show this great authority that he has. Previously, he's done it over a spiritual sickness. Now he will do it over a physical sickness. And while we should pay attention to those, let's pay extra special attention to the one being healed and what her response will be. Because I think that will give us our response as well. So let's read Luke 4, 38 through 41 together. Here's what Luke writes. Jesus, he left the synagogue and went to the house of Simon. Now Simon's mother-in-law was suffering from a high fever. I'm going to pause. This high fever, in this day, most of the time, people didn't live through these. So the situation is dire. I'm continuing back with what Luke writes. And they, that the disciples, asked Jesus to help her. So he bent over her, he rebuked the fever, and it left her. She got up at once and began to wait on them. Another translation, she began to serve them. Has anybody watched The Chosen before? So in The Chosen, they depict this scene. And I think they do a really great job of portraying what this woman's personality would have truly been like. But I've got a couple questions, so I need some participation from you. Do I have any task-oriented people in the room? You know what I mean by that? You're more focused on your tasks, okay? That's okay, because you would relate to my wife really well. Who are my people-oriented people? Okay, that would be me. And if that's you, let's hang out. Let's forget about the task for a little while, okay? Amen. But I think that it's giving us a really great glimpse into this woman's personality, his mother-in-law. No doubt, this had just recently become a house full of men. It was probably a little messy. And so she had to do some cleaning up. She couldn't wait any longer. She's got to get some things cleaned up. And she probably mentioned to Simon, just kind of on the side, hey, you should have brought him over sooner. I don't know. The Bible doesn't say that. That's just, I'm having a little creative liberty to read into it. But let's continue. Let's go to verses 40 through 41. At sunset, the people brought to Jesus all who had various kinds of sickness, and laying his hands on them, he healed them. Moreover, demons came out of many people, shouting, "You are the Son of God." But he rebuked them. It would not allow them to speak because they knew he was the Messiah. He was the Christ. And we've seen now Jesus' response with a healing of a spiritual sickness and a physical one. We've seen those. But let's pay attention to Simon Peter's mother-in-law's reaction. And what her response is, it's truly, it's beautiful. This woman, she had fully encountered the authority of Jesus in a very real way. Fully encountered it. She's dealing with this high fever, but because Jesus rebukes it, it's gone. She might have needed a second, but the scripture says that once she gets to work. So I think that this gives us our second response to the authority of Jesus, a response to serve. And when we encounter the authority of Jesus, whether it's through prayer, whether it's through reading the word, or we're just witnessing things going on around us that we can't quite explain, whatever it might be, I think it should motivate us to point back to God, and it should motivate us to action. And perhaps through this, Jesus might put something very uniquely upon your heart. Perhaps he puts a burden on your heart to serve the next generation. If that desire, if that is put on your heart, find a pastor, find one of our volunteers. We would love to get you plugged in with our kids or our student ministry. You can begin to invest in the next generation. If in encountering the authority of Jesus, he puts a burden on your heart to make people feel welcome here, to make coffee, to put pizza out, to put donuts out. We got a place for you on our First Impressions ministry team. Or if you'd rather be behind the scenes, we have a great tech ministry that we would love to get you plugged in with. But friends, this doesn't just stay in our church building. It doesn't stay here. When we encounter the authority of Jesus, we should be going out there. We have lots of local partners that we would love to get you plugged in with. Either that might be helping distribute food at Food to Families, helping to feed the hungry in our community. Maybe it's a place like Loving Choices. That some of you know them as the baby bottle place. Okay. But they need help supporting young mothers or soon-to-be mothers, figuring out what life looks like with a little one. Maybe it's preparing meals for those young families, or simply putting together a donation of baby clothes and diapers to take to them so that they can help support these young mothers. One more. It's Concordia Retirement Home. I challenged our students here at the Reardon campus a few weeks back with the idea of this, and I'm still waiting to see if any of them take me up on this, of letting one of the retirees adopt them as an adopted grandkid kind of thing. But what an incredible opportunity that would be. To serve them, but not just serve them, but sit with them, listen to them, hear their stories, make them feel valuable. What an incredible opportunity. Or maybe you have a passion for teaching the Bible, leading Bible studies. They have need of that. Or maybe you have administrative gifts and you're unlike me and you have those giftings. They have need of that. And it would be a phenomenal place to serve. But it doesn't stop at our church, even in our community. This goes to our homes. How are we serving at home? Can I have a moment of transparency with you all? When I get home from work, what my body really just wants to do is go sit on the couch and watch TV. It does. But I have to fight that part of myself. Okay? But what if I take that? And in an act of service, I look to my wife and I give her the quality time that she wants and serve her in that way, not doing what I want, but looking to her interests over my own. Maybe it would be helpful if I didn't complain about doing the chores that need to be done. I hate doing laundry. But what if I didn't complain about it? Or maybe I can write her notes of encouragement. I'm not very good at that. But what if I sacrificed my desire to just sit there, and instead I took to writing her notes of encouragement, building her up, driving her towards the authority of Jesus so she can encounter him in a greater way. What if? Friends, I think that encountering the authority of Jesus in a real way should lead us to respond both emotionally in awe and physically in service to Jesus, his church, and our communities that we find ourselves in. Friends, I think those are our responses. But what is Jesus' response? With all the authority that he has, how does he respond? What does he do with all of that? Because so often I see people suffering with sickness and disease, and there's no healing that takes place. Or I see depression and anxiety and mental illness and no relief in sight. But what does Jesus do? What is he going to do with all this authority he has? We know his response because he responded in his life and in his death, showing this to us. That since Jesus has authority, he responds with sacrifice. He responds with sacrifice. We're going to jump to Matthew's gospel, Matthew chapter 8. Feel free to go ahead and flip there now. This is coming after everything that we've just studied of Jesus' healings. And Matthew adds a brilliant part to this. And it sums up everything we've read. So let's read what Matthew writes in Matthew 8, 17. Here's what Matthew writes. This was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet Isaiah, that he took up our infirmities and he bore our diseases. That's his response. Friends, if you spend much time reading Matthew's gospel, you will hear that phrase, this was to fulfill a lot. You're just going to have to buckle up for it because it's coming. He is very concerned of how Jesus fulfills the Old Testament. And we catch a glimpse here of Jesus as a great healer, a great physician, as he's been known to be. But he's not just a healer of New Testament sicknesses. No, he's a healer of that most famous Old Testament sickness, sin. The sickness that you and I had been dealing with since Adam and Eve took and ate that fruit of that tree. And since that moment, we had been sick. We had been waiting for someone to give us some healing, to take some of that away from us. And I think he's not just pointing to a physical healing that we see in these stories, which, yes, like there is some of that. But I think what Matthew is trying to draw our attention to is the healing of our very souls. Your innermost being is what Jesus wants to heal. He wants to heal that part of you. And I think that's the good news. He provides reconciliation for us, healing in our souls. That's the beauty of this passage that Matthew is quoting. It's Isaiah 53. I challenge you, go read Isaiah 52 and 53. To see the beauty of what Jesus has done on the cross. But friends, I think there's another scripture that speaks to Jesus' own view of his authority and how he chooses to exercise kingdom authority. It's found in Philippians 2, 5 through 8. Paul is writing to the Philippian church, urging them to be unified in their love and humility. But what makes it so beautiful is how it flows directly from Jesus' example. So let's read these few verses together. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, he did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped. But he emptied himself by taking on the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men and being found in human form. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death and even death on a cross. That's sacrifice. Jesus' mindset of authority is not a worldly kind of authority. Instead, it is one of sacrifice. It's not something to be taken advantage of and lorded over people. It's not that kind of authority. His idea is to leverage our authority that we have in our lives to serve the weak and to sacrifice himself for you. So what would it look like for us to follow him with the authority that we have in our life? Well, I think it would look like us living lives of sacrifice, of great sacrifice for one another. Not just seeing the authority we hold as something to hold on to, but instead to live a sacrificial life. I think there's somebody that models this. Obviously, Jesus models this really well. But in World War II, there was a man by the name of Maximilian Kolbe. And Maximilian was a Catholic priest that was held in the Auschwitz prison camp during World War II. One day, a prisoner had escaped. And so the Nazis deemed it necessary that 10 men were to starve to death. And he's watching as a man is being dragged out of his wife's arms and his children's arms. As the man yells, "My wife, my children!" Maximilian, he sees this, he steps forward, putting a hand up. He says, "Take me instead. Take me instead." The Nazis, they agreed, and he willingly gave up his life that day. But he didn't stop. He continued to lead those prisoners that were starving alongside of him every day in prayer. And years later, the man that he had saved lived to tell the story of his sacrifice. And like Jesus, he did not cling to his own life, but he emptied himself for others. He had spent so much time in awe of Jesus and service to him that there was no choice but to sacrifice himself for others. And friends, that's how we should respond to Jesus' authority, is with sacrifice. And ultimately, the sacrifice of Jesus, it completely changes our view of what authority looks like. It doesn't look the same. The kingdom authority looks like self-sacrifice, motivated by awe and service to Jesus and his kingdom. I think that's kingdom authority. Friends, I hope that this has been helpful to you. Let me pray for you. Father, God, I would ask you that you would change our mindset of how we look at our own life. That it's not an opportunity to get more, to gain more, to be more. That instead it is something to be emptied of. Lord Jesus, we need only you, Lord, to be saved. I hope, Lord, that you might change how we view the authority we've been given on the authority that your Son showed to us. Lord, I pray all this in Christ's name. Amen.